ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 8, Text Number 16, Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bahujanma kare jadi shravan kirtan, tabutana pai Krishna pade prema dham. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead that is the ultimate goal of this chanting. Very important. I'll read it again after reading the purport. Please listen carefully, because in Srila Prabhupada's books, every word is packed with so much packed with important meaning. So you have to listen very carefully to grasp that. The purport is as follows. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in this connection that although one may go on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for many, many years, there is no possibility of attaining the platform of devotional service unless one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must follow strictly the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given in the Shikshashtaka. Trinadapi suniche no tarori vasa hishnuna Amani namane dena kirtaniya sada harihi. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. One who follows this direction, being freed from the 10 kinds of offenses, becomes successful in Krishna consciousness and ultimately reaches the platform of loving service to the personality of Godhead. One must come to the understanding that the holy name of the Lord and the supreme personality of Godhead himself are identical. One cannot reach this conclusion unless one is offenseless in chanting the holy name. By our material calculation, we see a difference between the name and the substance, but in the spiritual world, the absolute is always absolute. The name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the absolute are all as good as the absolute himself. Thus, one is understood to be an eternal servant of the supreme personality of Godhead. If he considers himself an eternal servant of the holy name, and in this spirit distributes the holy name to the world, one who chants in that spirit without offenses is certainly elevated to the platform of understanding that the holy name and the personality of Godhead are identical. To associate with the holy name and chant the holy name is to associate with the personality of Godhead directly. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is clearly said, Sivon mukhe hi jivhado swayameva spuratyadaha. The holy name becomes manifest when one engages in the service of the holy name. This service in a submissive attitude begins with one's tongue. Sivon mukhe hi jivado. One must engage his tongue in the service of the holy name. Our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We try to engage all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement in the service of the holy name. Since the holy name and Krishna are non-different, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement not only chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, but also do not allow their tongues to eat anything that is not first offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord declares, Patrang pushpang palang tayam yome bhakta prayachati. tadaham bhaktyuparitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Therefore, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has many temples all over the world, and in each and every temple the Lord is offered these foods. On the basis of his demands, the devotees chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly and never eat anything that is not first offered to the Lord. The functions of the tongue in devotional service are to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and eat prasadam that is offered to the Lord. Bahujanma kore jodi shravan kirtan tabuta napai krishna pade pranadham. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead. That is the ultimate goal of this chanting. Shravan and Kirtan are generally emphasized as the essential activities in devotional service. In the 9 processes of devotional service, they are mentioned first. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. First comes Shravan and Kirtan. Specifically, Shravan and Kirtan, it's not specifically mentioned here, but it's in this verse, but it's understood that the Shravan and Kirtan is meant to be about Krishna. Otherwise, Shravan and Kirtan is going on in this material world. In India at the present time, there's a lot of Shravan and Kirtan going on, not about Krishna, but about Mr. Modi and Mr. Gandhi and all these other characters who are vying for the political posts. The Shravan and Kirtan goes on, but that has to be about Krishna. Now, although in this verse it's not directly stated, but it's understood that the topic that is being discussed is offenses in chanting the holy names. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shadha Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Koriye Udoi. Love of Krishna is dormant within everyone's heart and is awakened by the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing. But this verse here warns that it won't happen if there are offenses. Devotional service is centered around Shravan and Kirtan. Shravan and Kirtan about Krishna leads to Prema Dham, the treasure of love of Krishna. Not always. Not necessarily. Here it's stated that it won't happen if there are offenses. So when is Shravan Kirtan not Shravan Kirtan? Well, how can that be? Shravanam Kirtan, it's something like saying, when is a mango not a mango? Well, if it's a mango, it's a mango. Maybe not. You might see a mango and think, oh, that looks like a very nice mango, and pick it up and then you and put it in your mouth and then you find it's a plastic mango. It's not the real thing. Or it's a rotten mango. Sometimes you see a mango looks very nice. When the rains begin, usually the mangoes they become rotten. They look very nice, but then the smell is something. Sometimes you find worms inside them. So the pleasure you expect from the mango doesn't happen. Instead, it tastes something horrible, and if you eat it, you'll get all stomach problems also. So it's a mango, but when we say When we say, I like to eat mangoes, everyone will say. No one here will say, I do not like to eat mango. Do you like mango? Of course. But then if we give you a rotten mango with worms, you say, oh, I don't want to eat that. But you said you like mangoes. So when we say, I like to eat mangoes, it means we like to eat good, wholesome, ripe, sweet mangoes. It doesn't mean that we like to eat rotten mangoes. So we something like this. The Shravana and Kirtan is about Vishnu, but when we say we want to do Shravana and Kirtan of Vishnu, that means that it has to be in the proper spirit, without offenses. Otherwise, the statement, I like to eat mangoes, it means that we like to eat good mangoes, not rotten mangoes. So when it's said that we should engage in Shravan Kirtan, that means in the pure chanting of the holy names and proper hearing. There are so many verses which speak about the value of hearing about Krishna. What is that? Shrinvatam shatya nityam grinatascha svacheshtitam kalena nati dirgena bhagavan vishate hridi. There's just one of the many verses which describe the glories of hearing about Krishna. That if one is actually serious about hearing about Krishna and does so with faith, then within a short time, Krishna will sit in one's heart. Krishna will agree to manifest himself within one's heart. But it won't happen if one is infested with the ten offenses. Now, this word infested doesn't appear in the original Bengali. Srila Prabhupada has, you could say, inserted that into the translation to give. That's called bhavart, which it means explaining the meaning, giving the feeling, giving the intended meaning, purport. In English we say purport. It means to give the meaning. So in Srila Prabhupada's translations, it's often not exactly according to the words, but it gives the meaning. And that's quite acceptable within the scholarly devotional tradition. So he used this word infested. What does that word infested mean? Well, a common example, which many of you who are from villages especially may be familiar with, is infested with termites. Do you get termites? Yeah, I think you get here also, huh? But you won't suffer so much because it's all cement and buildings. But if you build a house with wooden floors or bamboo, still goes on in the villages in India, not so much now. If it's infested with termites, what can you do? Then you can hardly, you might not even be able to see them. You can just, you don't see the termites so much, you just see little holes in the bamboo and powder. Some powder collects below. But then one day the roof falls on your head. Because the bamboo has become so weak, it's become so riddled with termite holes. And then, the whole house just collapses. Well, it's very difficult to do anything about it. Very, very difficult. Once the termites gets in, then becomes a chronic problem. So it's something like that with offenses. We might not even see them. There might be some side effect, and we don't take it very seriously. It's just a few. You just see some little piles of sawdust. Not even, I mean, tiny little piles of sawdust. But then one day we find we just fall away from devotional service altogether. That may not be very visible, but offenses, they're very, very dangerous. And if someone's infested with offenses, then an effect of that is that the consciousness is covered in such a way that he doesn't even realize that he's being offensive. If one is infested with offenses, the consciousness becomes such that it's not really even concerned about getting prema dhan. Not even very much concerned. Well, there are different kinds of infestation. I've seen in Bengal, among the class of devotees who are commonly called Prakrita Sahajya, they imagine that they have prema. To get prema, love of Krishna, one has to work hard in sadhana and for purification. One has to be very serious. So it's much easier to just pretend that you've got it, or to maybe even fool yourself that you have love of Krishna. But then we have to see, Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam. If someone seems to be full, oh, they're falling on the ground and crying, and they have such feeling for Krishna, and the feelings might be very strong, but they're not very real. If a person, sometimes they're rolling on the ground in ecstasy, feeling intense love of Krishna, and then a few minutes later they're smoking or just engaged in some worldly activities, or they're very anxious for their income and all this kind of thing. Or there may be others who practically they take up Krishna consciousness as a profession. It's a good means of getting some income. Just as we were discussing there are people who fight over dead bodies. Who fights over dead bodies? Dogs,
vultures,
jackals. And humans may do also. Why would a human fight? Well, the case of Gorky Shodas Babaji, all the different mahantas, or the big the owners of different temples, or different sadhus, when Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj passed away, they all wanted to take his body because they thought, it's great, we stick his body in the ground and advertise, here's the samadhi of a great sadhu, people will come and give us money. Great. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is sit there and collect the money. Such a sinful mentality. And shamelessly they were fighting over his body. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared on the scene and said, so, you want to take his body. All right, any one of you can take his body who didn't engage in illicit sex in the last year. No one came forward. In the last 6 months, in the last 1 month, no one came. In the last 3 days, no one dared to come forward. The chief of the police of Navadvip said, well, how will you know if they're cheating? He said, I'll accept their word because they didn't dare in his presence to lie. So he said, I am his only one disciple. I'm a brahmachari. At least I can't say I'm very advanced, but at least I'm not in pretending to be a sadhu and acting like a monkey privately. So he took. So that's an offense, to take the transcendental body of a great devotee to think we can get some income. And with the income, I'll buy my wife nice saris. If a householder works in an honest occupation and buys his wife nice saris, no one will object. But if he takes advantage of the devotional sentiments of people and diverts them so that he can to pretend that he's a great sadhu, and then he gets some money, and then he uses it for sense gratification. Even it's, you may say, it's innocent sense gratification, buying nice saris for your wife. then that becomes very offensive. So to use Krishna consciousness as a means of income, that's very sinful, actually. We won't get love of Krishna. I was very pleased to learn this evening, just before coming here, that one devotee here, he's so selfless, Ved Pravartak. He does a job like everyone else, but then he cooks for 12 people and he won't take any money. Whereas in some temples, everything, cooking, deity worship, everything goes on only by money. People won't do anything without money. Even if you want to do it without money, they won't allow you, because it will make them look bad. I was told of one temple where the pujari, they get so much. I was talking about contracts. So his contract is you do so many hours work. So Janmashtami, pujaris, they have to be busy up till almost 1 o'clock in the morning. Later he came with overtime, demand for overtime, extra payment. So you know, you may get extra payment, you won't get love of Krishna. No question. No love of Krishna. No question. So these offenses, we should be aware of that. We hear a lot about inspiring people and somehow or other get people to chant the holy name, inspiration. I felt very inspired, but we have to know what to be inspired for. We have to inspire people to chant the holy name and also to guide them to chant the holy name in such a way that they get the actual effect of chanting the holy name. Otherwise, one may go on chanting, but if there's not a proper understanding of, as Srila Prabhupada elaborates in this purport, following the commentary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if we don't have clear understanding of how the holy name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna, and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who we are to serve, we are to chant the holy names for His pleasure. If we don't have a clear understanding, then our chanting is going to be offensive. I saw many times in Bangladesh the professional kirtan performances, and people will go there and they'll say, "Ah, Baba, Anandam." They're enjoying the performance, as if it's just like you may go to watch some television program. "Oh, good, great, I'm enjoying it." You're not meant for our enjoyment. The whole idea that we shall enjoy Krishna consciousness is the only real pleasure, the only real happiness in the world. But if we think it's for my enjoyment, or we judge, "Oh, that was a really good lecture. There were 5 jokes and 3 stories and lots of facial expressions and gestures. It was a really great lecture. Really enjoyed it." So if we judge the lecture by how much I enjoyed it, then if we have that mentality, then we can't even begin to benefit by hearing what requires to be heard. The whole mentality should be, "I'm coming here to be purified by hearing what I need to hear from Shastra." So attitude. All these offenses, they derive from an improper attitude. Srila Prabhupada writes in his introduction, or a preface to the Upadeshamrita. From time to time, everyone should read this. It's very short, but it's packed with meaning. I gave a seminar a few years ago. I think it was 3 sessions on just the introduction to the preface to the Upadeshamrita. So Srila Prabhupada writes in there that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. So if our attitude is that I simply want to act in such a way that is pleasing to Guru and Krishna, then even We will make some mistakes, but it won't be an offense. But if we don't have that attitude, then everything we do is at least tinged with offense. So therefore it comes back to the same thing. We have to hear, to know that we have to serve Krishna. We have to hear, what is the attitude to serve Krishna? There are the techniques how we serve Krishna. Hearing and chanting are broad categories of techniques. But then the attitude, that we're only here to please Krishna. We're only here to serve Krishna. Everything is for Krishna's pleasure. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, put it so very nicely, that Mother Yashoda, if she sees one drop of perspiration on baby Krishna's forehead, and she thinks that that perspiration is causing Krishna a little disturbance, so Mother Yashoda is ready to die millions of times to take that pain so much, if she can remove that little pain from Krishna, so Krishna can be happy. That is the attitude of a devotee. We see Srila Prabhupada, how much trouble he took. Why? Why should he do so much trouble? Why? He could have lived happily in Vrindavan, chanted Hare Krishna and gone back to Godhead. Why did he do that? We hear about his going to struggle to get out of India, even to and heart attacks on the boat. Running, we see Prabhupada was always very happy. He's a Paramahamsa. He's always in bliss. But actually it was a struggle all the time, dealing with neophyte devotees. There are so many problems caused by outsiders, caused by the devotees themselves. Plus, you don't hear much about it because Srila Prabhupada didn't speak much about it. But practically all the time since, well, when he first arrived in the West, for some time he was in good health, then he had a stroke. And practically from that time on, he was always in poor health. He didn't speak much about it, but actually his health was very poor. So he's struggle. Some people don't like that we say he struggles. No, he's a pure devotee. Pure devotees don't struggle. Pure devotees are transcendental to material nature. So some people argue like that. But then what? Actually, the struggle. Otherwise, that minimizes his sacrifice. So he was a Paramahamsa, but that doesn't mean he didn't have to. He had to tolerate his disciples and so. There was another thing. He had tinnitus, which means all the time for years and years there was a sound going on in his head. That was one of the diseases, and diabetes, kidney problems, teeth gradually. He gave so many problems. And says, why did he do all that? Actually, several times Srila Prabhupada said, now I'm going to retire. Now I want to retire, you, all the GBCs you manage. He never did. So kind upon us. I should speak in Hindi now. Anyway, the point is that we have to see that our Shravan Kirtan is actual Shravan Kirtan. It's not Shravan Kirtan, it's not counted if we're infested with offenses. So we really have to understand what the offenses are and keep on track. Don't get off track.
Originally, in the verse, we said, and we explained that if one was to chant with offenses, if one was to chant and hear offense with offenses, and for millions of lifetimes, there is not going to
be. Okay. I meant to say something about this, but I didn't. Yeah, we all come with offenses, but the attempt has to be there to become free of them. We have to know what they are and attempt to become free of them. If we don't know what they are, just like you're saying, the Sai Baba followers, they know what the offences are. They're not interested to know. They'll go on making offences forever, even though they're chanting the holy names. Or if we are not serious to become free of them, then we become more, that in itself is an offensive attitude. Then we become more embroiled in offences. If we're seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, then that seriousness in itself means that to a large extent we are free from offences. Offences in the sense of there's mistakes, weaknesses, and offences. And offences comes when we are deliberately not accepting the spirit of surrender to Krishna. We're not trying to become purified. We're deliberately going on the wrong path. Or even if we get information that we're not interested to become purified or to improve. So, yeah, the offenses we all have, but in one sense. But in another sense, if we're actually sincerely practicing, that in itself means that there's a freedom from offense. It's all in the attitude. An offensive mentality is one that we're not serious to become Krishna conscious. We make a show of it. And a non-offensive attitude is that even though one may have many impurities in the heart, but one is serious to go beyond them and become fully purified in service to Krishna. So it's all a matter of attitude. Otherwise we may think, well, it's hopeless. But we shouldn't become hopeless. We should always have hope. Asha Bandha Samut Kanta. Two of the qualities described of devotees in Bhava Bhakti. They feel always hopeful. They feel themselves hopeless, but still they feel hopeful because Krishna is very kind. And Samut Kanta, they're very eager to serve Krishna despite their own drawbacks. So time to time we can read the Nectar of Devotion also. It's very, very helpful in our devotional advancement. That these nine symptoms of Bhava Bhakti are described there in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. With examples given. We should finish it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.